As we look at God's word tonight, I want to consider choices. Consider the fact that I chose to speak on this lesson as choices. Each day, we get up and make choices. We choose what we're going to wear for that day, what we're going to eat, if we're going to go to work, we're going to go to school. We make that choice every day, you know. Some of those things you almost consider automatic. What we're going to eat or wear, such things as that. I love to have oatmeal every day. I can eat the same things every day. It drives Teresa crazy because she likes the variety, but it doesn't bother me. You know, I always tell people, the wandering in the wilderness, I would have been the only guy that wasn't upset with having man and quail every day, but that's just me. So maybe I would have, after a while, would have changed my mind. But anyway, but some of these things are almost pushed on us. You know, when you're a young child, you know, you have to go to school. That's just the way it is. We need to go to work. You know, of course, now I've retired, so I don't have to do that any longer. But there was a time in my life when I had to go to work. But, you know, we're still in control of that. We still have to make the choice. You know, some days, you know, I don't feel like going to work today. You know, so maybe I'm just going to stay home. But no, we still need to go to work. I remember when I carried mail, and we have extreme weather. You know, in the summer, it's hot. And people say, oh, you know, I feel sorry for you. You know, because you're out here in this heat. Or in the winter, when there's snow up to here, and you're charging through it, oh, I feel bad for you. I always tell people, I said, you know what, though? I chose this job. I chose to work for the post office. So, you know, they felt bad for me, but I was the one in control. But we make spiritual choices every day. You know, don't be misled that others may make the choice for us what we are spiritually. You know, as a young child, I grew up in a home that my parents were Catholic, so they made the choice for me. But as the years went on, I studied scriptures and I found out that I needed to change some things. I've heard of people not obeying the gospel because they considered someone else to be a hypocrite. That person chose not to serve God on their own. You know, they said, well, this person's a hypocrite, so I'm not going to serve God. So choosing physical things, I talked about a little bit, they're not ungodly. You know, the color of your clothes, of course, you may, you know, because, you know, I'm colorblind, so, you know, I have a problem sometimes that that's what Teresa's for. Or, you know, or eating of Captain Crunch. And you know, I loved to eat Captain Crunch years ago. Those things really don't matter. But the spiritual choices, these have an eternal bearing on our souls. These are things that we need to be aware of. You know, the Holy Spirit will use terminology that can help us understand, such as the things we do every day. The word walk is used a lot in the scriptures. And it's a physical thing. So do we walk fast or straight or sideways? Let's look at some passages now that will help us to see about our spiritual walk. Let's first of all look at Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs 15 and verse 21. Proverbs 15, 21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. So someone who looks at their scriptures, he walks uprightly. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, in beginning in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, walking in darkness, of course, here is being living in sin and not living uprightly. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we have Our walk is described. And if we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with God. That means we need to be doing the things that are in accordance to His Word. It also shows that we're practicing the truth. You know, a lot of people in the world, they say they believe in God, but they don't practice the truth. That's doing the things that God expects us to do to be faithful to Him. We have fellowship with one another. We work together in service to the Lord. All of us work together in the common goal of making it to heaven. And most importantly, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. When we're doing God's will, the blood will cleanse us from all sins, all of our past sins. But some choose a different type of walk than in the light. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man as renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So some have chosen in this life to do these ungodly things. But we can choose to stop these sins if we want to. But look at verse 10. Some have done that by putting on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. They've changed their mind about these past things, these past sins that they've had. The walk in darkness brings God's wrath. So God's wrath is on us if we walk in darkness. And we don't have fellowship with God, nor do we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus has no effect on these people, those that walk in darkness, those that choose an ungodly life. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 26. Hebrews 10, 26 beginning. For if we sin willfully, if we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Those that willfully choose not to follow God's will, they have nothing to look forward to but falling into the hands of the living God. But on the other hand, some choose to run the spiritual race. After the Hebrew writer talks about all those faithful Old Testament people, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We must run with endurance. And this will take patience on our part if we want to be a faithful follower of Jesus. So can someone who never joins in a race expect to gain the spiritual prize? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So some people are, you know, they're looking for that a perishable thing, you know, back in the old, this time would have been like a crown that, you know, would have been made of wood or whatever, you know, it was something that was perishable. But we're looking for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm running this race. I'm trying to be spiritual. And the only way I'm going to get this spiritual crown is if I do the God's will. By doing the discipline of my body, I will get to that place. But if I don't discipline my body, I'm not going to reach that place. So we need to choose to be temperate in all things. We need to make sure that we're following God's will. So do not be deceived. All that we do or do not do spiritually is a choice we are making for ourselves. We are making a choice every day of our lives, whether we're going to serve God or not. Now, some of us are old enough here to remember a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson. And he used to go around, yeah, Tom's laughing. He used to go around and say, in a real high-pitched voice, the devil made me do it. In fact, by saying that, he was kind of saying, you know, I'm off the hook. You know, it's not my choice. You know, the devil made me do it. Well, that's definitely not a true statement. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who obey him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, spiritual death. The devil can't make us do it. He can put the temptation out there, but yet we're the ones that make the choice. We're the ones that are drawn away by our own desires. And then it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So we are going to have to choose the path that we're going to take. There's an Old Testament verse that I love when I think about the word path. It's back in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. A choice that can be made. Ask for the old paths. God's word, the Old Testament, was there written for our learning. And people of the Old Testament were told the things they need to do to serve God. But they said, we will not walk in it. They made a choice of not walking in God's way. They willfully sinned against God. What is the old path? It's obviously God's word. And it's also the safest path. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So we're going to stay away from evil. We're going to be on the right path. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. These people are choosing these sinful ways. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, though they regain the paths of life. That you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So those who choose the paths, these evil paths, they cannot expect to be saved. Earlier in Proverbs, in chapter 1, verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Again, the warning is there. Stay out of this paths of evil. Stay away from these things. So we can choose the doctrine that we're going to follow. There are so many doctrines out there in the world. There are so many man-made doctrines. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, a verse that we talk about a lot. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Of course, the apostles' doctrine is a teaching, the teaching of the gospel. And these brethren who had just obeyed the gospel, the first gospel sermon by Peter, they've obeyed the gospel, and now they're continuing in the teaching of the apostles. And there are many times that we're told that we need to follow examples. And let's look at a couple instances where Paul talks about following an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He's telling, and also verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. So the Apostle Paul here is saying you need to imitate me and follow these traditions as I imitate Christ. So, you know, we may see a man that we looked up to, someone that maybe has taught us the gospel, and we look up to him, and we may imitate him as long as he's imitating Christ. We don't imitate if he's doing things that are against God's will. But there's nothing wrong with following after someone that's following after God. And that's what Apostle Paul, I think, is alluding to here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. In this situation, the brother who's walking disorderly, they're not following to the tradition which was taught to them. And, you know, a lot of times we think about tradition being a bad thing because Jesus really was upset with the Pharisees and Sadducees because of their traditions. But a tradition here is something that is the Word of God that we're to follow. You know, we need to follow Paul's example. And he chose to change who he was so that he could serve the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Philippians 3:8. Now remember, Paul, later on, Paul says to Timothy that he was a blasphemer and that actually the Lord saved him because he turned to the Lord. But here in Philippians chapter 3, here are some of the things that Paul once was. Verse 4 beginning. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So Paul is talking about his former life and who he was. He's talking about the things he once did. And he realized he needed to put those things behind him. He no longer could be the person he once was. And sometimes it's hard for us to put away things from our past. You know, it's become part of us. It's almost, I don't know the right word is DNA, but it's just part of us. But sometimes those things need to be no longer part of us, even though it's who we were. You know, it's the things that we once did. Those who do not follow or choose God's doctrine cannot have fellowship with God. 2 John verse 9. Those who go onward and abide not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Some choose not to obey God's commands because they are self-willed. And those people that choose not to change their lives, they're self-willed. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. These people are walking, again, going back to the word walk, according to the flesh. They're self-willed. And if Paul would have been self-willed, he would have never changed his ways. He would have chose just to be who he was because that's who Paul was. We have to look at our lives. And as Sunday talked about this morning, we have to look in that mirror. We have to self-examine ourselves. Because if we're not self-examining ourselves, we're not making choices we need to be making. So we must choose to love the Word of God and have respect for God's Word. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." You know, Martha's concerned about these things, and, you know, I can understand, you know, when we have somebody that's over, we're trying to do things that are, need to make things go on and make the visit enjoyable. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." Mary chose to love the Word of God. Again, the things Martha was doing were not in and of themselves wrong. They needed to be taken care of. But Mary was concentrating more on God's Word, on the good things. And Jesus said, it will not be taken from her. When we obey the gospel, those things will not be taken from us unless we choose to go back into the world. Again, the word choice is such an important thing. Now, Tom read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to look at a couple things there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, verse 15, we talk about a lot. That we're to be diligent, or some translations will say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. So we look at God's word, we study it, and we know how to handle it. But if we look down at verse 18, after, well, actually verse 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus, They've strayed concerning the truth. They said the resurrection has already passed and you overthrow the faith of some. So they've made a choice to go against God's word. They're not following after the will of God. They're teaching false doctrine. In verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he's telling them, they need to choose to depart from iniquity. Make that choice. Get your life back in order. And there are some who choose not to love God's word. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They're making a choice to have people fall after them to pervert God's word. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which you have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Paul knew that if he was serving men, he wasn't serving God. But I make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel came from Jesus. The gospel that he was preaching. But again, some chose not to love God's word. They had no respect for God's word because they were teaching things they ought not to. And remember, this is in the first century. We've got living apostles, and people are already trying to pervert the gospel. So what makes us think that the same thing's not going on almost 2,000 years later? Another choice that we need to make as Christians is we need to choose to love the brethren. And in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So Apostle John here is going to talk about how we can show that we are loving our brethren by practicing righteousness. Verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay, this is a simple command. And then he gives an example of someone who did. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So now Cain realizes that his sacrifice was not accepted and he's going to make a choice. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from life to death because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So this is getting back up to verse 10, that to show that we love our brethren, we're going to be practicing righteousness, but someone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So this is someone that is making a choice not to love his brother, and this is equated to being a murderer. So we need to make sure we're thinking that we're loving our brethren. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the ultimate sacrifice, laying down your life for someone else. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This passage really parallels James chapter 2. Where it talks about works and faith working together. And here we show that we need to practice in deed and in truth. God's word. So we need to apply it to our lives, and it needs to be a working faith. The word deed here is the same as works in back in James chapter 2. But some choose not to love, even their brethren. They choose not to love their brethren. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. These people are making a choice not to love their brother. So, where's our guide to help us make these choices? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the authority to do the things that we do to help us make our choices comes from heaven. You know, the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 21, in one of their times when they're trying to trick Jesus, Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. And when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "But what authority are you doing these things? And who gives you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority to do these things." But all authority for all that we do, for all that helps us all the choices we make, we know comes from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We have to look at God's word for the authority for the things we do spiritually. And that'll help us make our choices. As long as it matches up to God's word, we know then that we're making the right choice. So, the final choice then is whom will we serve? Some choose to serve sin. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. "Do not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." Some chose sin. Some choose following God. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. "For many walk who I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." These people have chosen earthly things. They've chosen to walk in ungodly things. They've chosen to serve their own bellies, and they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You've got to make a choice. You can't serve both. You have to either serve God or serve sin. Now, any time when you talk about choosing, we always think about Joshua. Joshua, not long ago, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made the choice to serve the Lord. We need to make the same choice. Now, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to make some choices. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. So choice needs to be made to believe in God. Some people don't even make that first choice. We need to make a choice to confess Jesus in this life. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before man, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, him I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We can make the choice of confessing Jesus before man, or make the choice of denying him before man. We can make the choice of repenting from our sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you don't repent of your sins, you're going to perish spiritually. And finally, we need to make a choice if we're going to obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to make that choice of being baptized for our sins. Be baptized so our sins can be forgiven. Baptized for remission of our sins. If we don't make the choice of having our sins washed away in baptism, our sins stay with us. We need to make that choice. The choice that Paul made in Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias told him, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Paul, we know, made that choice. He had his sins washed away in baptism. If you need to respond to Jesus' invitation, if you need to make the choice to make your life right, if you've fallen back into sin, we give you the opportunity to make your life right or to obey the gospel as we stand and as we sing.